All right. Well, welcome again, everybody. Again, Kristen Rodriguez here. I'm moderating today's call, which is a roundtable discussion. And the discussion was one that we put out for CIOs and other IT leaders to join together and to get a chance to pick one another's brains and to think through what specific topics we might want to continue to put on the calendar in 2018. So we have right now, it looks like about 7 folks on the line. We did have about 30 registered. So I'm going to grab the link for today's call, and I'll put that in the chat here for all of you. And what I encourage you to do is go ahead and open up this link, because then you'll be able to see who else is on the line with you. And that's really helpful, because often when folks are sharing comments and kind of responding quickly, it's really easy to forget, okay, what plan is that person with? So there's a tab on that page that says attendees, and that has a list of everyone who registered today. So you can start to connect faces and voices and plans with everyone. And then also, you'll be able to click through and actually connect with anyone offline. So if you would like to email anyone directly or give them a call later because they, you know, had a really great question or made a really great comment and you want to follow up with them, then from the attendee list on that hyperlink, you're able to reach out to that person directly. And then one last homework item for everyone on the line. There are quite a few people on this attendee list that don't have a headshot. So I see a name, and then I see a big gray blob, and that's your picture right now. So really encourage you to take just a moment and just to load up your headshot. It doesn't take any time at all. And then that way folks can look at your smiling face when you're speaking. All right. So with that, we do have, looks like, 7 folks on the line. What I'd like to do first is just simply go around the room. So I'll call on each of you and take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, what your role is, what plan you're with, and if you actually are coming to the call and you're hoping that we're going to cover a topic or you kind of came with a question in your mind, please feel free to put that out there for the group. We're not on a schedule to run through introductions in any specific time frame, so please feel free to go ahead and kickstart a conversation if there's something that you really want to put out on the table. And if you're more here because you want to listen, that's okay too. Let us know. And then once we get through some introductions, I do have some, kind of starter discussion topics as well that we generated at our recent February IT value visit. And so happy to kickstart some discussions that way. So with that, I see that we have Adrian on the line. Adrian, can you come off mute and say hello to us?
Hello. My name is Adrian. I'm with First Care Health Plans. I'm the director of the call center, and I joined the call because there's actually some things that I'm wanting to hear in regards to maybe where technology is going in healthcare.
Okay, great. Welcome. And then, let's see, I'm going to guess it's Ladise. Ladise, am I saying it right? Diaz? No, I probably slaughtered it so terribly. Okay, Lisa Cools?
Hi, this is Lisa Cools. I'm the IT Development and Project Manager for Medical Associates Health Plan, and I'm basically here to listen.
Great, thank you. Welcome, Lisa. Nick Manali?
Good afternoon. I'm from Johns Hopkins Healthcare. And didn't have any specific questions, just kind of came to listen and participate on whatever the discussions are.
Great. And Nick, what's your role there at Johns Hopkins?
Oh, sorry. I am the data officer.
Very cool. Okay. Renee, are you on the line?
I am. It's Renee Coffey. I'm with Health One Alliance. I'm the IT Security and Risk Manager. I'm here to initially listen and maybe have some input later on as things come up.
Great. Welcome. Welcome back, Renee. And Susan, you're on the line?
I am here. Hey, everybody. Susan Butts, Cox Health Plans. I'm the CIO. And I had a couple of topics that I wanted to throw out to everybody. We're starting to use bots. If anybody else is using bots, they're doing a great job for us, but I have security concerns, and I was just kind of seeing out there if anybody else is using those right now. And then also, and this is kind of, it somehow it belongs to IT, WebEx solutions that everybody is using. We're using, I can't remember. I'm going to look real quick. Level 3 communications for our WebEx stuff, and they are just getting so expensive to do dial-ins and bridging along with WebEx. So I was going to kind of see what everybody else is using for solutions. Those are my two things.
Awesome. Let me see. How many people do I have? I only have one other name, so let me go ahead and ask William to introduce himself, and then we'll circle back to you, Susan. I wrote those down.
Yeah, this is William Ford. I actually go by Rob. I'm with Scott & White Health Plan, Director of IS of the Run Pillar here. And this is my first time to join, so just listening in to hear the dialogue that's going on with all the other health plans.
Fantastic. Rob, I'm so sorry. I made such a big point of making sure I wrote down the word Rob in capital, that I missed your title. I'm sorry.
Director of IS.
There we go. Thanks. Great. Well, welcome. And then are there others on the line that I didn't call on you? I'd love to know if there's other people on the line. Any secret listeners? No? Okay. All right, great. We'll check in if at any point other folks join in. I'll try to make a point of welcoming them to the call. So I might pause a few times here and there just to see if there's any late joiners that we want to be sure we say hello to. So we have a nice mix of folks. It sounds like, you know, this is the first one we've done. The last time we did a roundtable call, it was, you know, beginning of fourth quarter of last year, and that call was really about just outlining, you know, what frequency do we want these calls, and, you know, what kinds of topics do you want to cover. And so this is really the first one. So we'll definitely be learning as we go. And so as you're on the call today, I would encourage you just to have in the back of your mind what might make the call more useful to you in the future. It might be that having a more formal agenda or, you know, any kinds of things. And so when you do log off at the end of the meeting, the webinar program does pop up a one question survey. It just asks for feedback. And so it's just an open-ended text box. So that's a great spot if something occurs to you that you think, oh, this would make the call so much better for me, or here's an idea, then please do share that. You know, we're here for you and we want the calls to be useful. So very open to that feedback. And if you're more comfortable simply reaching out to me directly via phone or email, please feel free to do so. My contact information is on the team tab of the Health Plan Alliance website. And, of course, we have a contact us form, and the team will get it to me, so no worries. And then our general email box, very easy to remember, is info@healthplanalliance.org. So all lots of options to share feedback and help us make these calls as valuable for you as we possibly can. So with that, let's go ahead and circle back to Susan, because I know Susan had a specific question. So, Susan, first you mentioned WebEx solutions. Well, you mentioned bots first, but I want to save that for last because that one sounds really cool. So WebEx solutions. So wondering what other folks are using and kind of how they're budgeting for it, that type of thing?
Yes, please.
All right. So you said you use one called Level 3 Communications. Is that right?
Right. That's the company that's doing it that's given me the WebEx information. And it looks like, if I'm looking at the bill right now, that the phone, the dial-in, really isn't that bad. It looks like it's cents kind of thing. A 47-minute conference call cost me 71 cents. That's cool. Okay. A WebEx session that was an hour cost me $300. It's in that
what?
WebEx part. Thank you. So I'm surprised, and it's becoming more and more the norm here at the company to do WebExes instead of traveling. Literally, it could be somebody on the other side of the town that they're conferencing with, WebExing, instead of getting up and leaving, which is great because they're on here. But they're killing me on charges. So I've dumped these people, but I don't know who to dump them and go to. So
right.
I'm open to anybody and everybody.
So this is Nick, and this is not exactly what I'm responsible for here, but we do use Skype, and at my last employer, we use Skype in replace of WebEx for all of our presentations, and it's, you know, it's a part of Outlook if you use Outlook.
So, Nick, there isn't a subsequent charge with that through Microsoft or anything? It's just part of your license with Exchange?
I believe so. I know, like, Microsoft bought Skype a couple of years ago. And they used to have Microsoft's product was called something else, but there might be some additional licensing for Skype, but I thought it was part of the Microsoft Exchange product, but not 100% sure there. But once you buy it, you can use it unlimited, right?
Yeah, I think that is the benefit. This is Rob Ford of Cottonwood Health Plan. Again, I don't own that piece of it, but it is like you purchase Skype and you don't get charges by the call like you're describing there that you're getting from level three.
Perfect. So it's internet calling at that point. So it's data. Gotcha. Do you so can you do it? Can you use Skype? I've never Skyped. I know my daughter does, and younger people do all the time. But anyway, can you do just conference calling on that as well?
You can. Again, this is Nick. Sorry, that's not my expertise of how you have to connect it through the network. But you can use it for calling, or you can use it just for the presentation to replace the WebEx, like you were talking about how you have a voice. In my last employer, that's what we did. We used regular voice connections, but then for any presentations, instead of using WebEx, we just did it with Skype. But you can do both with it.
Perfect. Thank you for that. I will look into that.
Susan, does your group already have like an IM tool, right, just instant message capabilities?
No, we don't. I don't allow it. I don't have that turned on here inside the company, just to keep it control of any shared information, PHI, that kind of thing. So we don't.
Gotcha. Well, with the Skype, when I say Skype, that's, you know, you mentioned your daughter, right? There's the Skype that the whole world uses. When you implement it within Outlook, you can have it so that it's only internal and you can connect to your friend, you know, Jane Doe in the outside world.
But if I needed to go to the outside world, let's say I needed to fire up a WebEx with a vendor or something, I could do that as well?
Yep, you just have to work through whatever, you know, security, firewall rules you have.
Okay. Kristen,
yeah, so this is Kristen.
You guys, what are you guys, what's the Health Plan Alliance using, and can a person jump on that contracting?
Yeah, so we actually, here at the Health Plan Alliance, we actually do have Skype integrated with our Outlook. And so when I do small group conference calls or like internal screen sharing, we use Skype for that. And it's absolutely integrated with Outlook. You can generate a Skype meeting. We all have our own individual conference codes. And then we also use the IM feature. And I think it was Rob that was just speaking, or maybe it was Nick, so I'm learning the voices, that was just mentioning how you can set it to where you can only connect with folks inside the enterprise. And so that's how we have it here at the Alliance. So we all use Skype, but, you know, I can't Skype my dad, you know, in Louisiana. I can only Skype folks here in the enterprise. And so that tool is one that we use basically for meetings and small screen shares. But we used to use Skype for all of our member webinars, but it was in 2015 that we moved to the platform that you all are on right now. So you guys are all on ReadyTalk, which is the platform that we have. And I think that this one's really good for the type of webinars that we do, Susan, which are, you know, more of a marketing and external audience tool versus, you know, internal collaborators that are just needing to share screens and everything. So for the ReadyTalk pricing, I wouldn't recommend it for more of an internal usage. I think Skype actually is a really affordable option. And then the other tool that I'm actually looking into that I think might solve for a couple of things that the Alliance is working on, both internally and externally, I'm looking into Zoom. I've heard some really good things about it, but I don't have pricing information yet, so I'm not sure how that would stack up with what you're doing. But I definitely agree. Skype's a really cheap, easy. It integrates in. It's really good.
Okay, cool. I'm also looking at Uber conferencing. There's Uber conferencing now.
Yeah, that's a free solution, but I use that with one of my volunteer boards, and there's zero controls, like zero. Like there's ads on it. Yeah, I don't even know what, you know, what they do. I don't know if they're recording it or not. One of my volunteer boards, we use it because, you know, we're talking about school governance or something. Who cares if somebody's recording that? But I don't know that I would use that for PHI stuff.
So I wonder, so a vendor was using Uber, and that's the only reason I knew about it. So maybe there's a paid solution on where
good
you get
point
more security.
There may be.
He was going on that you can record. It would actually tell you minutes which person talked and which one didn't, and listening mode and all this stuff. So
maybe there's a paid version.
But, okay, I'll look at Zoom as well. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Any other ideas on WebEx stuff or other people using super secret awesome platforms?
No, here at First Care, this is Adrian. We use Skype, and we use it for everything. Our conference calls, our agents use the chat. That's how they get answers versus, you know, getting up, walking around. We use the tool probably in its entirety. We love it here.
Awesome. Glowing review from First Care.
Yes.
Really? Thanks for all of this. I appreciate that, guys. I'm going to totally start looking into that now.
They also have emojis. I mean, just putting it out there.
A little bit of everything.
All right, great. And Susan, you also had another question about bots. So you were wondering about bots and security concerns. So I think first you mentioned that there's some cool stuff going on, and there's some security stuff. So what do we got going on there?
So we are a TriZetto company, or vendor solution, claims adjudication system, and they have purchased a company called HPA, and in that HPA, they're doing robots. And we kind of looked at it, and then we got real serious when we could see how many bots a person could, or a bot could do in a minute, plus the fact there's no FMLA, there's no ETO, there's no call-in sick, no kids sick. This bot works for us. So we've got three edits, claim edits that we're doing. They're fairly cheap, and it's a great solution. And other departments in the company are now looking at it. And they can do bots. I mean, your robot can be outside of a claims adjudication system. They can, anything a human can do, and we can replicate the steps to get something done, it can do it for you, which is very cool. The only thing I got to thinking about is the security pieces that I'm not aware of. What am I missing when I hire a bot to do this? Because literally, the company, the vendor owns the bot. It isn't sitting on your servers anywhere. It's sitting somewhere else on their server. It's executed from there. It remotes to us, and then it does its thing, and then it exits. So I was just kind of seeing what, if anybody else won, anybody else using robots, and have you looked at the security concerns behind that? That bot, could I possibly get a virus? It was attached to a document. I'm just kind of going through my head where I could be compromised because I have a robot in place.
Excellent, excellent question. So far, so I guess we'll start with the first one and ask, is anyone else using bots?
So this is Rob Ford at Scott & White Health Plan. We are not. We're in discussions around that. It's just kind of in the discovery phase, doing some pilots with the hospital system, looking to move that into the health plan arena. But that's, I appreciate you bringing up that topic. Have not thought about that from a security standpoint. So I will make a note of that. And if I hear something, I can shoot something back out to the group. But
cool. Yeah, and I can I'm starting the research now. I mean, it's a person that's remoting in. Literally it could be a hacker, pretending to be that bot, accessing my records. It's full control in my system. So I think there's something I'm missing with this. So I'll continue to research it and share with the group as well.
If I could, this is Jim Lineberry from Health First Health Plan. One of my first conference calls here, so thank you for
welcome, Jim.
Having us out here. Thank you. I was out in Salt Lake City, so I got to meet some of you, I think. At the Health First Health Plan, we are just getting a bot. It's from a company called SimKey, and we had a lot of the same concerns that you had when we met with our security and what we – how we are implementing it is a physical machine that is going to be on our network. It is going to be locked in a separate room in the claims department, and only people in claims are going to have access to that key, and we are not allowing remote logins to that as well. So that physical machine has been locked down from that perspective.
And
so
that's where the executable will be. The robot lives on that machine.
Yep.
So
on
it's
that
on
physical
premise.
Machine.
Okay.
It's on premise, yep, within our network,
better
within
about
our
that.
Control.
Maybe that's what I have
yep.
to turn around and demand. So, okay, cool. Thank you.
So it might be a question that you ask of, you know, can you install that, not as an ASP model or hosted model, but can you install it on a physical machine that we can, that
yeah.
you guys can control within your own network? And your security
awesome.
Folks will be a lot happier about that.
Great plan. The ROI on a robot is amazing what they can get done for us. And like I said, they as long as I'm not doing backups, they can do it at night. They'll have three robots processing claim edits that we've sent over. Now we have thresholds. When it hits this many days and these many edits or these many claims with this edit, that's when we throw it over to them. But literally, I'll get an invoice for like $2,000, and it just processed over 1,000 claims. So
mm-hmm.
I could see even more. And medical's looking at him now to do authorizations and accounting for our ACH draws. So I think it's going to start kicking up more. So I have to have a plan in place.
Hi, this is Noelle Rivas with Baylor Scott & White. Can you tell me what company you're using? I missed that. I just joined the call.
Sure. It's a Cognizant company, and the subdivision is called HPA, and I can send you contact information if you need it.
I think it's another product, but, yeah, it'd be great if you could send that. And then my second question is, what were some of the areas that were clear opportunities and that you've seen a huge difference? Is it primarily around the claims area?
Right now, that was our first ones that we hit. We have 101 edits where the system can't choose which pay to because there's 10 pay tos to this one provider. So it just takes a person to look at it, and we train the robot to do it, and it's doing it 100% of the time. We had a few incidents where it chose the wrong one, and we had to record those as HIPAA incident, but they changed the code, and it went right back. The other one for us is eligibility. Claim may deny. Well, actually, we have this have it penned for eligibility because the member may have jumped off of a group plan, and they are under a different member number on the individual line of business. So the robot goes, it sees this PEN code that we send, and then it goes and crawls through my system to see if that member is anywhere else in the system, possibly under a different member number, and they just sent they presented the wrong card. And then it will either deny it for no eligibility, or it'll go ahead and process, adjudicate the claim, and then any other edits, the claim would stop. So those are the two main ones that we did. We are now implementing provider builds for those out-of-network claims that come in and we don't have credentialed provider. I get these. I don't understand why I get so many, but I have so many out-of-network providers. Claim comes in, the provider needs to be built. What's kind of cool about this one, and we're still in the process of developing it, but it literally sees the claim that's pending for this 101 edit, and then looks through the system. Did an analyst miss the provider? Nope, there's really no provider. It starts billing the provider. It literally will pop out to the internet, to the registry, to get the Fed ID and the TIN ID, and brings it back into the claim system. So the capabilities, and just talking to them, the capabilities of a robot does not have to be within a claim system. It can be anything. Anything that's repetitive by a person, a robot can be trained.
Now,
they charge me per transaction, and they will tell you how smart the robot out is, how difficult it is. So your pricing is based on that. If it's and I'm just throwing numbers out. If it takes steps 1 through 25, you'll have 25 cents a transaction. If it's 26 steps through 100 steps for the robot, then it's going to be this. But it's always consistent. So for a 101 edit, I know it's an intermediate robot, so I will pay, and I can't tell you what I pay. let's say it's 50 cents a transaction. It will always be 50 cents because it's how many steps are built into the process, not how many steps it took to pay the claim. The provider billed one is an advanced robot, so it's going to cost me a little bit more for a transaction. They will have a minimum. So if I send 25 transactions at $1 a transaction, they will charge me a minimum of $2,000. If I send them $2,000 at $25 a transaction, I won't get a minimum charge, I'll get the transaction charge. But if I don't send anything in that month, I don't get charged. So you don't have any quotas to meet, but you have thresholds to meet. If I don't use it for 6 months, that robot just sits there dormant, no charge to me until I use it again.
So does your vendor bring innovation? What he has seen at other health plans?
Yeah, and that's where there's a list. And, Kristen, I can send you this list, I'm certain, and the contact for HPA, the Cognizant company,
yeah,
a list of everything they have done. Now, I tried to just say, okay, well, I want that one, and they'll say no because your line of business is different. We still have to go through implementation with you, and it's your own robot. But here's the things that we have done for others. So they'll give you a line item like ACH payments, but they're not going to give you – they will still go through step one through step 50 with you and cut you that price. It isn't like you can reuse a robot from somebody else, but definitely gives you food for thought of what you could do with a robot.
Yeah, that would be great if you could send that over.
Yeah, I certainly will. I'm writing myself a note now.
That sounds really interesting. What have you found your error rate to be?
At first, they're really slow to ramp you up. They'll do 100% QA on a ramp up, and it's literally 10 claims at a time. And then when we sign off and say, yeah, we're ready, we agree with this, then go. One of the things I keep hounding my people, though, my claims director, make sure you're QA. I don't want to get complacent here. Oh, the robot's done it. It's always been right. It's not always going to be right. Don't get complacent with it. So it is in the QA, the 10% QA pool, just like an analyst is. And,
mm-hmm.
and we've had no problems.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you have the same quality control.
Yeah, just as if it was an analyst.
Okay. Same thing for eligibility as well, just quality reviews.
Yep, yep, it'll get a pull. Oh, you said something that reminded me. Oh, and we're getting ready to go up on the next version of QNEX, the claims adjudication system, and the robot has to be tested just like everything else. You know, my fear is they throw in a different data element or something, the robot skips over it, but there was logic tied to it. So it's in our testing plans as well. For version control? And, Kristen, maybe sometime I can totally fire up a demo of it and you guys can see what it's doing. I can show you our ROI. You know, we could focus on that if there's interest.
Yeah, I was actually just making some notes here myself. I know this started off with the angle on wanting to dive into kind of security concerns, and I think that's definitely a good conversation. But it sounds like for a lot of folks on the line, getting to dive deeper into just how are other health plan alliance members starting to use bots might be a really interesting call. And I know Health First, you guys mentioned that you're standing one up as well, and there's probably other folks too. So I'll put a call out on the discussion forum and see who else might be willing to share, and maybe we can get a couple plans to talk through just that part of it. Susan, I think that would be really interesting.
Sure, be glad to. And I think it was Health First as well. Our hospital is coming over next week. Their HR department is interested in it. I have no idea what they're thinking, but they wanted to come and see it because something in the recruiting office, I guess, they could use them for. So it's not just claims adjudication.
Yeah, this
right.
is Noelle Rivas, Wisconsin White Health Plan. We just did a pilot for HR as well with our system, and that was successful. They're pushing it out, or we're pushing it out to other areas, and we're about to do one around credentialing here at the health plan and integrating with our health system as well and looking at what they're doing and what we're doing here and see if there's some opportunities or synergies there to use those bots as well. So, and I can see the value that you just described from claims and eligibility in that area, that we could leverage these bots to possibly reduce our admin costs and find other opportunities there.
You know, credentialing is a massive win on that one. We don't credential internal, but the hospital does, and you said that. I need to invite the credentialing team because it's nothing but repetitive data entry. You're right.
Yep.
I had not thought of that.
So we're just starting ours here at the health plan. So once we evolve and grow a little bit, we'll be glad to share some of that.
Yeah. Cool.
And for the folks from Health First, I was looking back through my notes here. I didn't note what it is that you guys are looking at for that SimKey bot that you guys are standing up. Is that claims as well?
Yep, this is Jim Lindeberg again. Yeah, it was our claims.
Got it. Okay, great. Awesome. So Scott and White, Health First, and Cox are all looking at this. Are there any other folks on the line that have been looking at bots? Or maybe you looked at them and you ruled it out for a reason. Is there anyone else done any thought around this?
No, this is Dan Dunkers from Johns Hopkins Healthcare. Just listening to it, I think it would be a great avenue for us to explore. So I've got the website up already and looking at it, about ready to schedule a demo.
Nice. Look at that.
Cool.
Yeah,
you're
one
welcome. Of the things you're that I was most it. Concerned about was the morale in the claims department. Are they being replaced by robots? So we call them HPAs here. That's just the name of the vendor, right? And we sold it as we're helping you guys, we're paying you guys to be analysts, not data entry clerks, and they love the bots. They come to us and say, we think this is an HPA win for us. What do you think? And we look through it. It's like, no, you got to go do it yourself. But morale, you don't want anybody to think they're being taken over by a robot. It has, though, kept us from hiring claims analysts. When somebody leaves.
Well, if I can add to that, this is Jim Lindeberry again from Health First Health Plan. 10 years of my career I've spent in developing artificial intelligence focused on process and operational process improvements. And somebody else in the call said, you still do all the QA. That is so accurate. And what we always did, too, was elevate those jobs from just the data entry to well, now we're going to have software quality assurance people, right? There's a higher skill set. There's more pay, new roles that come out of this. And so that's that whole, you know, professional development, career growth that people, you know, can move into because they understand, say, if you're doing the claims function, right? And so it's creating new opportunities for people to grow professionally. And we've taken that approach in the past at other companies I've worked for, and it's been very successful.
You're spot on, and that's how you have to roll it out that way as well. Yep, exactly right.
Well, fantastic. That was a great discussion on bots. Any other items on this piece before we open it back up for other topics from the group? All right. Well, I am definitely going to follow up with some of the folks like Noelle, Jim, Susan, and then I think also you have Dan from Johns Hopkins and maybe Nick. I know you guys had some specific questions about this. I'll send an email follow-up, and I think doing another, you know, a separate call and opening it back up to the whole Alliance group and letting folks know that we're going to dig into this topic a little bit more. I'm sure there's other folks that are interested in this. So I'll follow up with you all offline and see what we might put together there. So then pivoting back, first let me check, are there other folks who've joined us on the line but haven't had a chance yet to say hello? I would love to know if we have new folks that haven't yet had a chance to say hi. All right, everyone feels acknowledged and validated and heard by their peers. Okay, I love it. All right. Then let me open it back up. We do still have, you know, a good, healthy 20 minutes here left on our time. So other topics for discussion that have occurred to folks that they want to put out there for the group, reactions, suggestions, wondering if maybe other folks are wrestling with a similar issue. All right. If something occurs to you, definitely interrupt me because your questions are more important than my questions. One question I want to raise with the group, and I recognize we have a healthy mix of stakeholders on the line here today when I look through the job titles that are represented today, but one topic that was raised at the recent IT Value visit was growing awareness of just a very high percentage of our member health plans are looking at new core systems. So either they're, you know, looking to move entirely and go to a brand new one, or it's a question of, you know, upgrading, that kind of thing. But either way, you know, there's a lot of disruption there. So there was interest expressed in developing like a small working group, or perhaps even looking to like pair health plans together so that organizations that are going through this process are able to support one another. So the part that I need to better understand before I'm able to actually move something forward is, what is it that folks would want out of that group, right? Do you want to be paired with someone that's, you know, using the same vendor? Do you want a working group where everyone can just kind of share, you know, RFP stuff or data, you know, prepping stuff, or, you know, who knows, right? Readiness assessments. So if anyone on the line is, you know, going through that and they're on that, you know, team of stakeholders that's working through that process and has some comments on what might be helpful from the alliance, that would be very helpful information for me. Any thoughts from the group?
So are others going through? Are they doing core administrative system and RFPs right now? Anyone out there?
Are there more plans out there that are doing it? Is that the question?
Yes.
Definitely, yeah. I think when we were in February, we were all together. A lot of our CIOs were together at our IT meeting, and I think there we identified like 7 member health plans that were all somewhere in that process. Some maybe had already chosen the vendor and they're getting ready to move, and then others are still choosing, but a number of plans, a significant number of plans are looking to move.
Is there a trend? Are we seeing them move to something in particular?
That's a hard question to answer. We were interested in that as well. We the Alliance had executed on a survey where we were, one, we asked the question, you know, are you looking to make a switch? And it was something like 20% of organizations across our membership and ACAP. So we did a survey in partnership with the Association of Community Affiliated Plans, ACAP. So they have 100 members, and we have about 50 members. So about 20% of plans indicated that, yes, indeed, they are, in fact, looking to move to a new core operating system. Now, as far as is everyone moving to the same system, that one's a little bit harder to answer because, you know, you have these big players that have been in the space for a long time. And so I think that the numbers kind of skew a little bit. And then also, you know, one big player is losing one and another big player is gaining one. So there's not a clear indication that there's like a winner, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
All right. The other item that I have on my docket of potential discussion items here is looking forward. We have another call scheduled for this group, and I'm going over to the calendar now. It's on June 13th, and I'm going to check right now to see if it's already got registration up and running. We do indeed. So June 13th is our next information technology roundtable discussion. Registration is open. And right now, there's no set agenda or set topic. However, we certainly could set one. And I think that the bot conversation that we just discussed, I would endeavor to schedule that prior to June. I would endeavor to schedule that in the spring because it seems like a really interesting topic for a number of you. So this information technology roundtable, again, June 13th, already up on the calendar, so you can go register for it. And so opening up, are there particular topics that folks would like to see on the standing roundtable, or do folks feel that any changes would be beneficial?
So is anybody in the discovery phase around blockchain and using that with your hospital system as they do the billing and then you receive the claims and adjudicate it? Is anyone discussing anything around that at this point? And if not, I'd like to hear more about that as you do.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? I might want to know about that.
Well, you just see the big buzzword out there with blockchain technology and how it's, you know, they're discussing that being a disruptor in the industry, and I just wondered if others are reading about it, talking about it, hearing things from consultants as you work with them on the topic.
No one?
This is Susan. I've not heard anything.
Okay.
It's intriguing, though.
I did something in my last job, but it was totally unrelated to healthcare. It was financial services, so it, you know, made a lot of sense there, but nothing in the healthcare arena.
I mean, paying a claim is a financial transaction, so to me it's a natural fit.
Yeah, I mean, we did. The company I worked for, they implemented something with like property type, travel insurance. So you could buy travel insurance at an airport and pay for it with blockchain, but I wasn't actually on the project myself.
This is Kristen with the Alliance. So I noted blockchain technology, but I confess I don't know what that is. Can you give us like a 30-second, just what is that? And forgive me for not knowing.
So blockchain technology is just the underlying infrastructure behind Bitcoin, like digital currency.
Mm-hmm.
So Bitcoin may fluctuate and all that. The technology itself is becoming more popular and talked about.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's just, it's really taking off. You'll read about it out there. Again, it could be the take away or some of the dependencies on banking. That's why I see it as being maybe progressive within relationships between hospitals and those that are integrated with the health plan.
Mm-hmm.
So those transactions can take place without having to for those to go outside to a bank and then back through the whole process
mm-hmm.
as it does today, the whole cycle.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, great. Thank you. Other topic ideas for the next call or format ideas for the next call? Okay. Then the last question I have for the group in our last few minutes here is one to let this group know that the Alliance is putting together another face-to-face meeting for folks with responsibility for information and the technology that supports its security. So for those of you who joined us last September, we did a risk management and kind of information security meeting in Dallas. We're doing a very similar event. It's August 7th, 8th, and 9th. And that'll be in San Francisco. If there's anywhere that's worth going in August, it's San Francisco. Not too hot. So that event's wireframe agenda, we should have that available for some previewing within the next 2 weeks or so, and we'll have registration turned on. But certainly the agenda won't be done in a few weeks. It's just going to be kind of here are the themes and the layout. But basically for that three-day event, the 7th, 8th, and 9th, we'll divide the event up, part of it looking at risk management and compliance, and then the other part looking at privacy and information security. So for this group that has, you know, strong ownership of the IT component and InfoSec component, you would probably be most interested in coming Wednesday, Thursday, and perhaps using Tuesday as a travel day, because the compliance part of that session is a little bit more operational in focus. So, for example, there'll be like an ODAC workshop for individuals that operate an MA plan. We'll be doing kind of an audits workshop on Tuesday. So I think that, again, we're trying to stack the agenda so that that way you're able to really maximize the time out of the office and not have to sit through sessions that maybe don't quite apply to you. But so having said that, there's also a planning call for that event that I would encourage everyone to consider attending. Let me grab the date for you. The planning call is an open discussion call where the Alliance members get to preview the agenda and then give feedback to the Alliance team to let us know, you know, where people might be interested in doing case studies or where individuals may be interested in hearing, you know, a specific vendor or a specific topic that's really timely, and that helps guide the agenda development. That planning call is on May 10th. And it's on the calendar. Registration is open for that, so encourage you to consider joining us for that planning call. We have already had a few plans raise their hands and offer to give case studies on some issues around cybersecurity and issues around like cybersecurity events and how that plan needs to align with enterprise risk management and disaster preparedness. So a lot of really good stuff already in the hopper. And that'll be a nice, you know, in-person meeting with this peer group to get to meet some folks in person and talk through some of the security elements that come in place with all of these initiatives that folks have going on. Those are all the items I have for this group. Any other discussion items for the good of the group?
Sounds good.
All right, fantastic. We really appreciate everyone joining the call. Thank you so much. And we'll cycle around with some information about the bot topic. I thought that was great. I'll do a little bit more research about this Bitcoin underlying technology so I can learn a little bit more about it. That was a really great suggestion.
Yeah, if you just Google blockchain, it's all under blockchain.
Got it. Will do. Thanks for that. So, and again, you know, next call for this group is June. And June 13th, day after my birthday, so that's a fun time. And I encourage folks to let me know what will make this call really valuable for you moving forward. And you can feel free to use the different communication elements I outlined earlier to do so. So with that, I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll talk soon. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.